episode 45 of Rebooked, the show where we talk about the men and women slapping meat in the middle of the ring and the stories they tell in the process, brother. I'm GB, you got Matt, you got Jake, and on this episode, we're talking WWE Crown Jewels, some major storylines in AEW developing, and a Monday Night Raw that sets the stage for Survivor Series. Fellas, it is an important day in our nation as we record this, so we're using professional wrestling to calm our anxiety.
I just realized something.
Oh God, what happened? What'd you do?
This episode is cursed.
Why?
It is in.
45!
It's episode 45, and it's on election day. We're screwing everybody.
No, I would like to see the opposite. You know, I don't know.
Okay, so stop recording now and start anew. We'll release two episodes today.
We're releasing two. One for 45, yeah. And one for Joe Biden. All right, that's what we're gonna do. All right. Well, you know what? Since there's a lot going on.
We'll take the power back of 45. We'll take it back.
Let's take the power back. Exactly.
But hey, if you want to look at things positively, there was someone from the West Coast who did recently beat someone from the East Coast in what was kind of ultimately the big, championship of it all.
That is true.
I can't quite put my finger on it, but I don't know. I'll figure it out. Anyway,
I hate you. Okay. They were going to win. They were going to reverse sweep them. The Dodgers had nothing. Yeah, yeah. And then why didn't Cole cover first? That's all he had to do. Just cover first base and the game would have been done. Oh,
I mean, all Aaron Judge had to do was catch a fly ball.
All Aaron Judge had to do was catch a fly ball. Honestly, it's that.
All Gleyber Torres had to do was throw a ball to third. I mean,
fault the third baseman because that was an impossible catch. Like that was like he literally just like tossed it in the side. Anyway, but I am happy for my Dodgers friends. I always said though, if the Yankees weren't in there, I would cheer for the Dodgers. I mean, Dodgers are a great freaking team. How can you not cheer for Shohei Ohtani? He's a legend.
Or Freddie Freeman.
No, fuck that
or
guy.
Or Mookie.
Okay, that guy can go to hell. All right, Mookie's cool. I like Mookie. Mookie's all right. But Freddie Freeman, you grand slam hitting douchebag. Unbelievable. Anyway, all right, that's enough of the New York coming out today. Meanwhile, Matt's there is like, Cubs are all right. White Sox are.
No, they're not. GB, like, look, you just join the Chicago vibe of like, once every like 20 years, one of the teams goes on a run. But other than that, just live in the mediocrity. It's fine. Cool.
Well, Blackhawks always have a tendency to pop off, though, right? I mean, they've been doing that for a little bit.
Not lately.
Okay. I don't follow hockey. So I just know that I always hear my buddy Scott talking about the Blackhawks. That's like his team. So
are you sure he's saying Hawks?
Could be that or something else. In any case, though, let's go ahead and start things up, shall we? Because there's a lot to dive in today. We had a whole big-ass pay-per-view out in Saudi Arabia. It was WWE's Crown Jewel PLE. I know I called it a pay-per-view, lol. Overall, let's talk about overall thoughts on the show. Of course, sound off in the comment section down below. What did you think of Crown Jewel? I'll start off and just say my one big thing, women's tag match was awesome. Absolutely loved it.
It was a lot of fun.
You could just tell that they all went out there and was just like, let's just do everything we possibly can to get that crowd to cheer endlessly for everything that we're doing. And they did it. Like it was a little cool in the beginning. And then as the match went on, like people were just so into it. And I'm really, really happy for them. But on top of that too, I think it was just another great opportunity to really display Jade Cargill, display Bianca Belair, but also display the entirety of the division that they're building up, because they're building up these characters, they're building up these new personalities, and I really do think that this was the step in the direction that the women's tag titles has needed for a really long time. Like, we now have a whole mess of teams that are going after those belts, which it's not just random people coming together to form a team, which is ironic because that's literally what the tag team champions are, but You're getting it. Am I the only one who feels that way? Or are you guys on board with that?
I absolutely. I think it was a great showcase. Again, just like, oh, look, there's a crap load of talent in this division. And again, whether it's a little pause for some of them before we see them worked in, it's just like a reminder and of like, oh, look at all these groups, these women, these wrestlers you could work with in tag team title feuds, or I don't know. It was just like a great exhibition, and like, okay, whenever the next tag title feud is done, there's plenty in the chamber to kind of work with. That's what I liked about it.
Yeah. Yeah. We did see some movement as well with Jade and Bianca on Raw. So that was interesting. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but Jake, what about for you? What was there anything that stood out for you for Crown Jewel?
I kind of liked what I guess amounted to a no contest between Kevin Owens and Randy Orton.
Agreed. Oh yeah.
I did really like that. That shows that it's far from over. This is just, you know, just getting started. It's not even about wins and losses anymore for Kevin.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, making a point with his fists, with violence.
Mm-hmm.
And I dig that. It makes me very interested to see where all this is going to go, especially now with someone going to SmackDown on Friday to have a little chat with the Usos. You know, Kevin's neck of the woods. Wonder how that's going to go on Friday.
I really liked it too. Just from, I don't know, like business or like logistically, we talked about how this whole show and many of the Saudi shows in general feel like a side quest, right? It's a little like pause in the road, but this was kind of like the one match on the card that took a continuing story and inserted it into this little side quest. And so I thought it was a really good way to handle it. Non-finish means we'll hopefully get these guys in a definitive match on a, I don't know, in canon pay-per-view line, whether it's Survivor Series or whatever's going to be in December, or Rumble, kind of thing like that. Keep whatever their true blow-off is between Randy and KO, and then eventually I'm sure Cody will get worked back in. Into one of the more inline pay-per-views of the main WWE schedule.
Yeah.
So this is a great little interlude, and it just upped the intensity without getting us to a definitive win or loss between these guys yet.
Yeah. I liked it and actually I'm going to try and see if you guys can see this here, because, you know, WWE.com did a write-up of it and everything. And I really like the way that they're talking about this story, the words that like the commentators are using, right? They've been talking a lot about Kevin Owens and singles gold and him being a champion. Like they're starting to like add those nuggets in there. And I really, really do like the fact that like in doing so, what they're telling us is that this story is going to be something more than just a feud. This is going to carry forward. I think this is going to carry forward past Cody's reign. In fact, I think this is how you get the belt off of Cody. You know, if you really want to down the line, because you give him a substantive feud with two prolific wrestlers in the company. It's similar to what Damian Priest had kind of gone through after he lost, you know, the world title, right? I really like it. I like everything about it. There's just nothing. There's that. I actually would have been disappointed if they had a match, now that I think back on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad it was the way it went.
They essentially did have a like Falls Count Anywhere match without there being any finish or match. They gave him like a whole, it wasn't just like an attack at the beginning. All right, thrown out, go to the back, we're done. They pretty much did a whole match.
I want to know how that was written in the run of show. You know what I mean? Like Kevin Owens, Randy Orton.
Beat the hell out of each other.
Beat down. Yeah. Probably like beat down segment or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Matt, what about for you? Was there anything that for me was a tag match? Jake had mentioned Kevin Owens, Randy Orton. Outside of those two, is there anything else that had stood out to you?
I mean, for me, at the top of my list was just that, was Randy and KO. But I mean, it was a big topic of our discussion last week. Bloodline, Sammy, if and how getting involved. And then, of course, the classic. I'm trying to hit one guy, I hit another. I mean, I don't know if we're jumping right into Raw talk right now.
You can mention.
I'll bridge it that. Because I think I've gone on record as saying I really hate this trope in wrestling. where it's usually it's the one guy holding the other guy, right? Come on, hit him. And then the guy wiggles his way free and moves, and the partner hits their own partner. And they have this unusually long, like, what the hell? How dare you? Even what? Though it's that so
shit. Yeah.
It's an accident. Like, of course yeah. it, like, Jesus, like, that's all it is. Dude, that can hurt. Okay, sorry, man. Anyway, how do we get him next time? Like, that's literally what the conversation would really be, but they make it seem like, you turned your back on me. How? And so we're here again. Sammy clearly going to kick Solo. Roman kicks him instead because Roman decided to, for some reason, jump into a Superman punch at the last minute. And they sell it with Jimmy saying, no, he did it on purpose. And I'll be honest. I still feel the way I normally did. I didn't love it, but the way they carried on through the promo, and I like Sam, the point Sammy made on Monday Night Raw about just turning it into not even talking about the, I didn't mean to do it, but they didn't argue the semantics of that. And Sammy turning it into this is what happens. This whole group of us, it always blows up. Somebody gets mad at somebody, like, and it all just disintegrates, and I'm not doing that again. So I appreciated it turning to like to that, like the history and the emotion of it, rather than the silly semantics of, no, of course he didn't purposely try to kick him in the face. So I didn't love how it started, but I liked where they took it.
I at least appreciate when they did that this time, that they had planted that seed before on SmackDown the night before with Sammy talking to Solo. So because of that little thing, because I agree with you too. I'm like, obviously I was not trying to hit you in the face. Like, what are we talking? Why are we even arguing about this? You know, if I'm a tag team part, why are we even arguing about this?
He was beating the crap out of all of the other Bloodline guys. Not 10 seconds before. Clearly he's backing you guys up.
But planting that seed of doubt by them seeing him talking to Solo and like, okay, well, what's going on here? And so from that perspective, I didn't mind it so much, but I am with you on, like, it's a trope that's done too often, for sure.
Yeah. It's sometimes, right, you just got to lean on the classics. and that's just what they have elected to do here. But to your point, though, Matt, I totally am on board with you on how you feel about the way that they're telling this story and the way that they're talking to one another and the types of promos. Like, if there's one thing that I do love about this era of WWE is that it stopped being about the bombastic rah, 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 you know, because like humans don't talk to each other that way.
It's characters, you know, and real dialogue and conversations and emotions are involved. Yeah. And because, you know, people are complex, so these characters should be too.
Exactly.
And because, a lot of time it'd just be like, we have a common enemy, brother. Let's go take them on and, you know, water under the bridge. But them having these conversations and them not being resolved all in one go, yes. I really like that too.
You know what this reminds me of? Sorry, it was that Survivor Series with Triple H, one that I had watched because I had seen the promo. It was like Triple H, Rey Mysterio, Kane, and there was someone else there. And they were literally talking about all the things that they did to each other. And they all just kind of like laughed it off and then moved on. And I was like, don't get me wrong. Right. I mean, it was a different era back then. So it's not like a big deal.
It was very tongue in cheek.
It was super funny. And I loved it. But it did. I mean, one of the storylines he talked about was the Katie Vick one. Like they literally just, you kind of have to treat that like, it's stupid. Because that was not good, but it's like you gotta have your stories have substance to a certain degree, and that's the era that we're in now. To the point, Jake, that I'm sorry you were making, where it's like we're in that substance era now. These guys are just talking to each other,
right?
You know,
right?
How hard is that to do, though, Jake? Like from a performance perspective, to like memorize that shit, or do you feel like it's probably easier for these guys because they're speaking more from the heart?
I think it's easier because one, they have such good chemistry with each other. And, and they're also such seasoned performers. I mean, honestly, like, I have to imagine, and I can't really speak to it because I've not, you know, Matt may would probably be able to speak more to this, but I would imagine you can get to a point that the Usos and Sami Zayn kind of are where you're like, hey, this is the goal we need to accomplish with this segment.
Yeah.
Maybe hit these notes, but go out there and do your thing.
Yeah.
Because at a point you just trust your people to do what you've hired them to do. I know that's a foreign concept to a lot of people in businesses nowadays, but I think you just kind of get out there and play. You go out there with an emotion, with a feeling. This is how I feel. I feel betrayed. I feel wary, but also like, you know, it's just a lot of different emotions kind of wrapped up in one. And if you can kind of pick three of them out of the air and just go out there and feel those, it'll come through. It'll come through in your performance.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what you're getting from it as well, Matt? Like, cause I know, you know, you're a theater guy, you got the background, you got the chops. So like I feel like, and also this is an environment that guys like you would fucking thrive in. but how do you feel about the way that these guys are doing promos now? Because it's definitely changed, right? The game's changed, I mean, it feels like.
Yes. No, I mean, they're much more, it's everything we say. They're much more layered. They're much more grounded. For a lot of the top guy, people have all the argument about like how scripted promos were. And for some people, they were. A lot of the top guys have often had more freedom. Like, that's not a brand new thing. A lot of people think like Vince Sloan, the rumors of like scripted everything for everybody. No, it wasn't. Like guys like Cena, guys like Roman, guys like Seth always had a little bit of freedom to act in promos as long as they hit their notes. But
yeah,
it seems like it's a little bit more of a wide cast net with regards to that. And yeah, Jake's right. That's I can tell you from experience, that's exactly how it works. You have something and it's kind of a bullet point improv. I mean, you can't just go on and on and on because the segment right. has to be, you know, 10 minutes or whatever. But
yeah,
I'm going to talk about this. Then you make sure you hit this point. It'll be back to me to accuse you of this. I'll respond like this. And we got to make sure we hit that line about, you know, Sammy Uso or whatever it is, that the Uso family stuff kind of thing. That it can be that simple. And so these guys, yeah, they're going, and they have such good chemistry, and it's very real. And the more you work with each other,
yeah.
the more you can just kind of feel real, because yeah. it's just playing it down to earth.
I think that's an overlooked aspect in a lot of what wrestlers do. A lot of times when they talk about chemistry, they just talk about the in-ring performance, but I think so much.
Yeah.
Chemistry. I think you can have great ring chemistry and terrible promo chemistry.
Yes. Yeah.
and vice versa. So
bro, I think that's CM Punk and The Rock. Remember that? That was CM yeah. Punk and The Rock. And then they got in the ring together and I was like, it was okay. You know, like it was good, but man, I tell you, in my head, that match was way different, you know? But they were so good talking to one another,
you know?
Like everything they fucking like, your arms are too short to box with God. You don't know anything about dealing with the bat. Like, oh my God, everything about that was amazing. But then, you know, and I even think to a certain extent, and not to, you know, badmouth, but that was kind of what we experienced with the Usos going into WrestleMania, if you remember, right? Great. I mean, the story was great. The match just really
fell flat,
you know? But you could tell these are guys who put in like a ton of work. And I really do think that they've been given the keys to the car to just go nuts with this story. And they've been doing it for years now. No one knows this better than they do. No one knows where they want to go better than they do. And I am excited for.
I am too, because I mean, I've also heard, I'm pretty sure it was Jay talking recently, and I wouldn't be surprised if they all said something to this effect, but I know, I'm pretty sure Jay had said that he felt when Sammy was in the Bloodline, that was the most fun that they had.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Ever.
No
when
doubt,
he was in
bro.
The Bloodline.
You can see
and,
it.
And yeah. And I get the feeling that they're like, hey, we're on the verge of maybe of us doing something together again, even if it's for a short time. Let's like really, I can see them being excited about this and where it can lead. And again, branch off and bleed into other storylines, because that's the complexity that we're dealing with storytelling and wrestling. It's
similar to the Shield as well, if you recall. Like when they broke up and then, you know, all that happened, they were away from each other for a while, but then they came back for like one or two matches, you know, to just like a reunion, if you will. And then Kurt Angle was the honorary Shield member for a day. I love that one. That one was fun. Was him coming out
like a dad with his proud, like a proud dad with his sons.
It was so good.
At bring your parent to work day. His
edgy ass rebellious children, you know, my goodness. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and continue the conversation for Monday Night Raw, because we were discussing the things. And before we do move on, I just want to say on the main events of Crown Jewel, you will notice that we didn't really talk about them. Because that is basically about as valuable as they were.
They were fine.
It was just fine matches. Yep. It happened. They got a ring. Now remember, WWE fans, if you made fun of AEW for the Dynamite Diamond Ring, you got to check yourself.
You got your own now.
You got your own now. And you got your Saudi diamond ring. So go ahead. Enjoy it. Okay. Oh, man. In any case, let's go ahead and dive into some more Monday Night Raw stuff. Lots happened on this episode. This was very much a episode that is setting the stage for what we're going to be getting with Survivor Series, which is, you know, where they're pointing all the arrows to now. Io Sky is now the number one contender. Damian Priest is now the number one contender for the respective world championships. But honestly, those weren't the most compelling parts of the show. The most compelling parts of the show was the Miz and Wyatt Six. It was the New Day. It was Dom. There were other elements of the show that were very, very enticing. So before we start, New Day. Because we've been following this for a while. I have a theory that I just want to share with you guys. I got to find the picture. Because you've been seeing the ring attire, right? Mm-hmm. Recently. Mm-hmm. And you notice it's that green and it's that black, right? Now, you can make the case, you know, as I pull this up. And obviously, Woods isn't in his gear, but he's been wearing the black gear lately.
They wore it last night on.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I could probably find it there. But anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that I feel like they're very clearly Woods is wearing black. That's fine. But it's Kofi wearing green. Now, I do know that Kofi's worn green before because that's his color. You know, he's worn like green and yellow and stuff like that. But green is envy.
One of the colors of his native Jamaica.
That's true. But green is also envy. But green is also envy in this storyline. And one of the aspects.
What is Kofi envy?
Yeah, he's not the envious one.
He's not the
Woods is the envious one.
And that's what I see. And part of me felt like at first that was not necessarily the case. But I can see them pivoting this in a way where it's like, you know, Woods making it about himself. Woods thinking selfishly. Woods not caring about other people. And then that leads to him just saying, "Fuck you, I'm done." You know, like I'm over this, which is basically what's happening right now. Right. So I don't know. Maybe he thinks Woods is selfish, but the reality is that he's the selfish one. Like that's kind of how again, it's not anything crazy. It's more than likely nothing. It definitely is nothing. If anything is more Woods wearing black, it's more important here.
GB's been hitting the green.
Probably
is what I think has been happening.
But the reason why I say this is just because this story has been all over the place.
What was the crazy shit he tweeted this weekend while we're on it? What was it you tweeted this weekend? And I was like, my man's been hitting the pin.
Oh, he thought Dom was going to win the Fatal 4-Way.
That's right.
Wait a minute. You almost did. Was that really crazy?
No, I agree. Yeah, I don't think that's crazy. I think that was a very much possibility.
I saw that whole whole match graphic pop up and I was like, there's no way.
Other than just that Dom versus Gunther is a weird, you know, with heel kind of weird storytelling. but I would have loved to see Dom in that, like, squeak one out. It would be freaking great.
What supported my theory when I was watching the show, I looked at my wife and I was just like, I think this might, I think Dom might win. And she's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And it was when the Gunther promo happened and Gunther was like, we got to be better. We have to be better. Like, he's like telling Ludwig Kaiser. It was like a much softer, more humble version of Gunther. It was a very different promo. So I was, or not promo, but very different segment. So I was like, oh, that's weird. Why are they doing this? And then that's why in my head, I was like, no shot. They're going to do Dom versus Gunther for sure. I thought I was like really high when I tweeted that. And it nearly happened. It nearly happened.
It did.
So,
yeah.
And
anyway, but I'm sorry to, that just crossed my mind while you were,
but I'm glad that you actually mentioned that, because honestly, bro, like, there are a lot of great stories that they can like really just pivot in any direction if they want to. Sure. And we've been seeing that, like, I think the one that I really want to talk about is the Wyatt Six with Miz, because I just thought that whole, that the showing Bo Dallas. And what's his name?
And Curtis Axel.
No, his first name. His first name. Michael McGillicuddy. Was that his name?
Oh, God. Yes.
No, yeah. At the time, he wasn't he?
No, at the time that they showed in the video, but his OG NXT name was McGillicuddy.
Yeah, McGillicuddy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I will never understand why they just didn't go with Joe Henning. It just never. Anyway, point is, that was freaking awesome. And I say that ironically, you know, with The Miz, but that was really cool. And
yeah,
now
it was a really great. Yeah.
Does that mean that we're thinking about stuff from like old school black and gold NXT as well? Probably.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I believe.
Maybe. Oh, I'm sure that'll come into play somewhere in this Wyatt universe or whatever.
What'd you guys make of it, Matt? What'd you think of the Wyatt Six one? If you had a chance,
the from this week, with the Miz, the kidnap video, like I thought it was fine. I think it's, you know, continuing this thing. I remember watching it for some reason. Like, this is just stupid. Like, there were little things about just the performances, like the way Miz played it, I wasn't super fan of. He seemed really like casual. I don't know if that's
a
right.
Little bit,
like,
yeah,
for something that's supposed to be this kind of horrifying kidnapping thing.
Yeah.
And not that he needs to be like dripping in sweat and like but like
I'll
it was
just,
a little bit more like,
oh, go
he
for
seemed
it, go
more
it.
Annoyed.
He seemed more confused than he did.
Yeah.
Frightened.
Yeah. Hmm. And I would have liked a little bit more fear.
Maybe
like
he was channeling the Marine 2. You know, maybe he was really trying to.
Jesus.
Really?
Nobody should be channeling. That should not be on any channels or channeling of any kind.
It's on Tubi. You burn it down. You burn down the whole thing. Yeah, I liked it because of the way it looked. Thematically, I thought it just. Everything with the Wyatt Six, I've been very, like, hooked on. You know, it's a cool way, this whole, like, anonymous style type of delivery that they have with the characters and the, you know, VHS tapes. And I just think all that stuff is clever, but I'm
curious about you guys. Do you guys feel like, and maybe it could be good, I don't know, I'm trying to like suss out how I feel too, but the Wyatt Six stuff in general feels really inconsistent in terms of like, they debuted and there was these wild vignettes and videos and that wild backstage show. Boom. And then they kind of were like gone for like 2-3 weeks. And then they were back doing a little bit. Then they're kind of like gone. And then they pop up into a video. And then it's not really like they kind of shifting all over. Is this good or bad? Or does this play into their characters where they're kind of just like everywhere? You never know if and when they're going to pop up. Do we like that or not?
I see what you mean by that. I kind of lean toward when you're doing something like this, less is more. Because it is kind of leaning on the, you know, it's bordering supernatural, it's bordering ethereal kind of. Yeah. It's like, it's this almost in between place of reality and make believe in a way. And it's harder to do that when it's harder to buy into that, I think, when you're seeing it all the time. You'll start to see the cracks more, you start to see the flaws. But plus, like, from a story aspect, if it's like, well, what, like, their intentions like seem to be kind of all over the place. And that's kind of interesting. That's kind of interesting to me because I want to know why, like exactly what it is, because even they said to Miz, we didn't care about the final testament.
Yeah.
We wanted you,
which I think that was a very true statement, by the way.
Yeah. And I liked that. I thought that that was, and also I think that I also think the segment that they did it during is telling as well, because they did it in the middle of Kofi and Woods in an argument.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of these things are being done with more thought and consideration than we think. It's just hard to know the symbolism until we get deeper into the story.
Yeah. That's a good breakdown.
I kind of feel like that's what's going on a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I would rather them take their time with something like the Wyatt Six than just keep trying to shoehorn them into storylines or whatever. It's like, no, let's sit back. Let's write this thing out. Let's plan it out. Let's get it the way that we want it to be and then execute it. Because I just think like it's so much different than just, you know, Seth, go out there and be Seth freaking Rollins, you know, or, you know, it's a lot more complicated than that. So I kind of like the direction they're taking it. But I do want to learn more about them and their motives. That's what I want.
It's too, I don't have much else to add because that was honestly like perfectly said, but the only parts that I will say is I think part of the reason why we've been getting less of them now is because of the switch to 2 hours. You don't have that hour anymore. And I think had we continued to do a 3 hour Raw, you would have gotten a little bit more Wyatt Six as a result.
That's a good point.
But that, to Jake's point, has actually been a blessing for them because every single time a Wyatt Six segment happens, it's kind of like the Firefly Funhouse. It meant something. Mm-hmm. You paid attention to it. You knew that there was something of value that was going to come out of this segment because it was either going to push a storyline forward or it was going to be something that was just genuinely engaging.
And it's quality over quantity.
And every single segment that the Wyatt Six has done has been engaging. And even when they have, you know, ended feuds like the feud with American Maid, they won the feud. American Maid ran with the tail tucked between their legs. They're now feuding with LWO. They decided to go south of the border, take on some of us brown people. All right, but no, but I mean, like,
your election's showing, bud.
But honestly, like, I think that is, it's been really well executed, and to that regard, inadvertently, I think. I don't know if it was intentional or not. Like, because if we had 3 hours of Raw, like, would we be seeing more Wyatt Six? Probably. You have to make that assumption because you need content. 2 hours, though, allows you to be a little bit more creative with it. So, yeah. But before we wrap up Monday Night Raw, we do want to talk briefly about the main event. Actually, two big sections that happened. Io Sky is now the number one contender for the Women's World Championship. And Damian Priest is now the number one contender once again for the World Heavyweight Championship. Personally, I still think these are like stopover feuds or like matches for both.
Yep.
But Damian Priest is back in the title picture. So that tells you that they definitely are putting a lot of stock into his stories.
Look at the presentation that he had. He had new music, I'm pretty sure.
I didn't like it.
On Raw.
Yeah.
But his presentation was pretty awesome. Yeah. I mean, so they're clearly pretty high
still with him.
Yeah.
I didn't like the music, but I liked everything else. I liked him coming out, doing the thing with his arms out and the fire pushing.
I like the out of focus shot and him walking into focus. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, really creative, you know, good use of you know, camera work as well. So you don't have to do Goldberg and just have pyro everywhere in him. Get burnt. The main event being this match with the fellas, awesome match, super fun. Dominic was all over the place here because everyone was wondering if he was going to sneak away the win. It looked like he almost did, but Damian Priest is the one who picks up the dub. And then in the women's battle royale, you also had Io Sky pick up that win. And I think it just is another reinforcement on the women's side that Io Sky just continues to be a great option for them to lean on in a lot of these matches. But I am shocked that they didn't go with Lyra Valkyria. I'm kind of
something like, tells me there's stuff coming up for her soon. Yeah. I think she just needs some more time on the main roster.
Yeah.
I agree.
It just would have felt like a perfect Monday Night Raw type of, you know, title defense matchup, right?
She was almost my pick today for my Rumble.
Oh, really?
Champion. Yeah. I thought she had crossed my mind.
Hey, you know, I mean,
because she feels due for something.
I would agree. I would agree with that. Seth Rollins, on the other hand, felt due for a tsunami. My guy, Bronson Reed, decided to show up and fuck up everyone's day.
Bronson Reed is a real life juggernaut.
He's the best. He's the best thing on Monday Night Raw.
He just
right
runs
now.
Runs yeah. through everything and everybody.
Yeah.
He just doesn't give a shit. It's great.
He is the best part of Monday Night Raw for me. And hearing Michael Cole yell,
Tsunami!
I live for it. I live for it every time. Mm-hmm. Matt, how did you feel like this was the good direction to take here? With Priest and with Io?
I thought it was fine.
Yeah, right?
Like,
just a lot of fine?
Both worthy title
put
competitors.
Put the belts on Dominic, cowards. That's what Matt's saying right now.
I mean, I'd love to see it. I mean, but like, think about like any which way they went, like, because I do feel, I'm like, right now, I feel like they're just looking for something. Like, I feel like you're right. I think these are going to be Monday Night Raw match. I don't feel like these are getting set for pay-per-view title defenses. I think these are going to be the kind of like special attraction Raw matches.
I think Priest and Gunther are. For SummerSlam. For Survivor Series probably, right?
Maybe. It depends on, but I like either way, whether they do schedule one or both of them for a pay-per-view or for a Raw over the next few weeks, I they feel very, very stopover in the way to other larger feuds as we head towards Rumble and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So two former world champions. So totally, you know, everybody can buy that they deserve a number one contendership, but I don't think either one of them are getting back to the gold in the immediate future. So makes sense. The resume fits, but nothing like really super, super intriguing. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Well, of course, Monday Night Raw, fun watch. I've been loving the 2 hours. Man, I love the 2 hours. It's great. You just and with the DVR, you just fast forward through that sumbitch, and you out there like nothing. It is a lovely time. Let us know what you thought about Monday Night Raw. Sound off in the comment section down below. How did you feel about the ending? Do you agree with us? Do you feel like these are going to be stopover matches for our champions on Monday Night Raw? We didn't get much into SmackDown, but, you know, I think we're going to be waiting to see what happens over there on SmackDown this week. And then next Tuesday, we'll roll up the sleeves and talk a little bit about what's going on over in the Blue Brand. But we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to yap about some AEW and a new thing that I want to do. That's right. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, if you want to join us on Discord, you can go ahead and click the link in the description down below right here on YouTube, as well as on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Join us on Discord so you can be a part of the conversation where we talk about all sorts of things happening in the world of professional wrestling, on top of the fact that we're just a couple nerds. We just like talking about wrestling, talk storylines, talking all the fun stuff. Check us out on Discord. You can click the link down below. We'd love to have you join us. It's a good time, and we'll see you there. All right, everyone, welcome back to Rebooked. So we just talked about what was going on with WWE. We talked about Crown Jewel, Monday Night Raw. But now let's talk about AEW. So we've really been focusing on the primary story of AEW, which has been, and I think they're called the Death Riders. If they are called the Death Riders, that is the most badass name that you could ever come up with for a group.
John Moxley and the Death Riders, new metal band cover.
That's just so fucking hardcore. That's so cool. Anyway, and I thought the Blackpool Combat Club was a great name. So it's Man. But yeah, so Jake, we've been talking about this story for quite a while now, and you're starting to see it like bleed out into trickle into other stories here, which is really the true mark of a great story, is what we've come to realize in covering, you know, pro wrestling in this way. Do you feel like this is this is it? Like, this is the story that AEW's been needing for a while.
100%. Yeah. 100%. This honestly starting to feel like a soft relaunch in a way of AEW. And we're kind of setting up some clear lines and also blurring some others. I really, you want to talk about it bleeding into other stuff. I really liked the backstage segment between our TNT champion and Daniel Garcia. I thought that was a tremendous promo, and it was really interesting listening to them talk about, you know, just like where they are now and where they've been and how they're kind of mirror versions of each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, how Garcia needs to, you know, decide what kind of man he is, decide what kind of wrestler he is, if he wants to, you know, ever sniff anything like the TNT title.
Yeah.
So I thought it was great stuff from Jack Perry too. I mean, I think Jack's getting better and better every week at promos.
Yeah.
And that one in the back was very, very good. I really liked that one a lot. And it definitely made me more interested to see where this goes. Is this setting up, you know, a fall from grace, if you will, for Daniel Garcia? Is he going to embrace that dark side, or does he, you know, can he amp up his, I mean, we'll call it, you know, aggression, or his, you know, whatever. Can he amp that up without sacrificing who he is? Yeah. And I think that's a fascinating storyline. And we're also seeing it with Orange Cassidy. So it's great that, like, it's this, they've created this story that is about changing the zeitgeist, if you will, of, or dare I say, shifting the paradigm of AEW. And it's making everyone question everything. Yeah. So it does, like I said, kind of feel like a soft reboot in a way of, like, you know, let's do something extreme and let's really see what we can come out with here.
Yeah. And we, of course, do our show, you know, the day before AEW airs. So, you know, we are always a little bit later to the party as far as like what happens. But one of the key things that did happen was that the Elite lost the tag team titles, and Private Party are now the new AEW World Tag Team Champions, which is massive. And it's kind of led me to this theory, guys, where I feel as if one of two things can happen. The AEW originals are going to start stepping up and start winning championships, right? And then in comes the Death Riders, and the Death Riders are going to try and take every single belt that they possibly can away from the de facto faces of AEW. I don't know how they do it on the women's side, honestly, because I'm very compelled by what Marina Shafir is doing. I just don't know the motivation of the character or anything really about the character.
She hadn't talked at all.
But that is really smart because she seems to be the most pissed off out of everyone. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but yeah.
I think she's the least intriguing.
Really? Okay, go on.
I think because it just seems like I'm angry face in the background.
I guess I want to know why she's angry.
Because she's standing with Jon Moxley. That's why.
Yeah.
And you have to. It doesn't seem interesting to me. It just seems like.
Seems kind of one note.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. you're just the angry, like, early China. Kind of vibe of just like, you're going to stand there and look mean.
The China beta.
Stand there and look mean. I don't know if we're going to do more. Maybe, hopefully, please give her more.
Yes,
I'm not saying cut long ass promos or anything like that, but like, Yeah. I do. You do want to hear a little bit of the motivations of everybody in this group. Over time, hopefully, yeah. But I would like more from her. I am not intrigued by her.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you see, the thing is everyone that is in that team, outside of Marina Shafir, well, she kind of does, but less so, has like legitimate reasons to be like frustrated with the system, wanting to kick it back, you know, blah, blah, blah. Right. Think about like Claudio coming from WWE, Cesaro. He comes over here and then he wins the Ring of Honor TV title or the World Championship or something like that. And then, you know, he's doing his thing. And then he kind of just like falls into the background. Right. You get Pac, who comes in, one of the most prolific professional wrestlers in the world. And he comes in and he falls into the background. You get, you know, like, and there, I feel like that's what they're trying to, you know, clearly that's what they're trying to like build upon. Sure. But for Marina Shafir, I just don't know what that was because she didn't really have a connection with the audience before this had happened. She just kind of showed up with John Moxley, to your point.
Well, I mean, she showed up before. I mean, she showed up.
She was the first one.
My mother-in-law, originally. remember, like, the problem, Marina Shafir and everything. Well, exactly. So I think for her, it's less of a, I had this huge thing and they just kind of kicked me to the back. It's like, I've never been able to get off the blocks.
Ooh.
I've never been really given the chance. And even in WWE, her NXT and WWE run, you could make, you know, without directly referencing that, like in my whole career, I've never been really given the chance to show who the hell I really am. Mm-hmm. And now John Moxley and the rest of these MFers are giving me the chance to really let that beast out kind of thing. That's what I'm going to assume coming from her is now. Yeah. And I would love to see that evolve over the next few weeks and months.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe, well, I'm wrong. Maybe I am intrigued by Marina Shafir, by the potential of it.
That's what I was saying. I am intrigued by the potential because they can have fun with this. They could have fun with this because I feel like, again, they have purposely kept her quiet. They have kept her as the, you know, the pit bull, the one that's angry, but that wants also, to fight everyone.
That's also an old writing trick kind of at the same time, too, of like, I mean, some of the scariest characters in all of literature, in all of film, television, don't talk. Mm-hmm. And it's they're almost there as a blank vessel for whoever is watching to cast their own anxieties and fears and concerns on. So it's kind of left open for interpretation.
Yeah.
But after a while, the problem you have with that though, is after a while, your audience is informing who the character is instead of vice versa. So that's something that they have to be a little careful with of like, I understand where you're both coming from of like, seeing that potential, but like, can we get a taste of it? Just a little, you know, little something? Can we pull Jason's mask aside just a little bit to see, he is human after all? Like, give us that moment with her.
Yeah. That's a great point. We'll see, but well, we did get another moment though, on this last Dynamite, as we had just talked about. Bobby Lashley is now in AEW, and Bobby Lashley is a part of the Hurt Syndicate, which, firstly, love the name, and I get it. I know everyone's like,
the same thing that they've been doing the entire time. Like, yeah, you're right. It is the same thing they've been doing the entire time.
Yeah,
but they never really had an opportunity to get it off the ground. So now let's see them get it off the ground. Let's see what they can actually do. But I do have a question for the both of you. Is it coming at a wrong time? Is the Hurt Syndicate showing up at a bad time?
That's a good question.
In AEW's narrative journey.
Yeah.
You know? Like, because when you're establishing a stable, right? As we've learned from this show, Matt, you've always said, right, what are the things that you do? You drape a stable with gold, you know, you establish these teams, right, in ways that make them like authorities. I don't know where you fit the Hurt Syndicate with the current Death Riders holding that gold. So obviously, I don't really see them interacting anytime soon. But I am curious to see how long does this Death Rider story last, and how long does this Hurt Syndicate story last,
and because, when do they overlap?
And when do they eventually overlap? Because they're gonna have to if they're both essentially accomplishing the same goal. Same thing with the Patriarchy, right? Another team that needs, the Don Callis family. Another team that needs that validation. So,
perhaps, yeah. Maybe it could have been a little bit better. I mean, I think they're not such a huge, especially because, like, it's only, like, the Death Riders are each individually, how many are there? Four of them? Five of them? They're all individually wrestlers, right? So you could have a tag team in there. You could have a trios tag. They're all currently the Hurt Syndicate as is. I mean, is two wrestlers and a manager.
Yeah.
MVP is not going to be wrestling, so you really only have two guys in active in ring competition. Maybe they'll add somebody else. So like, they don't take up a ton of room, and you don't need to get them like every title. Like, I don't know, with the Elite going away, maybe you do something quick where Okada finally loses the Continental Championship, because I don't know what it is other than a piece of, it's like a wristwatch.
Piece of metal.
It's just a piece of metal you're wearing around.
That's all it is.
But maybe you could maybe try to make it into something a little bit again and put it on a Bobby Lashley or a Shelton Benjamin or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you don't need like I don't think with them, because they're not some huge group, you don't need to have them go around winning every title. So you might be able to make some room for them.
Jake, it seems like
with a good story. And I think with Swerve is a great one, because he's a top guy there.
That is true. That is true.
I kind of feel, I don't know that Hurt Syndicate needs to be draped in gold to start out, because they kind of have some built-in prestige already as a pre-existing stable.
Just them alone. Just three of them alone. Yeah,
right. Yeah. So,
isn't the same thing as like the Patriarchy with Nick Wayne.
Yeah, it's not, you're not building one from fresh. There's still some, you know, emotional, you know, baggage there for that they can run with. So
yeah.
I think that they can do that for a while, but yeah, like at a point it's going to be like, because if you think about it, it is kind of conflicting ideologies, even though they go about it the same way. You know, for the Death Riders, it doesn't seem to be about the prestige. For the Hurt business or Hurt Syndicate, it's 100% about the prestige. Yeah. I want the titles. The titles mean that I'm the best and I will hurt you to get them. I don't care how I have to hurt you or how badly I have to hurt you.
Yeah.
Give me the gold. So yeah. It's kind of, I mean, that's going to be an interesting thing to watch play out, like as they do eventually have to cross paths, I would think. And as a matter of fact, I mean, because I think you saw this with Hurt Business in WWE, that they were kind of pushed as heels, but they started to be embraced more like faces just because of the general attitude and whatever. So I could easily see a Hurt Syndicate, this new Hurt Syndicate with this newfound attitude, being a formidable opponent to the Death Riders. And I think you could make some really compelling stuff out of that.
I also can see it going where eventually Orange Cassidy gets the better of John Moxley, Cassidy wins the world championship, and then in comes Bobby Lashley after just beating like Swerve, after just beating like who else, right? They'll find someone for Bobby to have defeated to like kind of give him that aura of legitimacy within AEW, even though everyone knows Bobby Lashley is legitimate as fuck. So you give yourself an opportunity as well to kind of, you can go the face route, as you had mentioned before, because they are capable of doing that, as we have seen. And to reiterate, everyone loves these guys, so it's not that shocking. But we've also seen them, you know, play the bad guy as they're doing right now. And they're very good at it as well. You know, these guys are very good at what they do, and they have great chemistry together, which is the reason why, you know, like, they keep finding each other. They keep making this happen. And I think that if they are given that free reign, if they're given that opening, and if the Death Rider storyline is the catalyst for that, that would be fucking cool. That would be really cool. Could be. Could be. You can go John versus John Moxley versus Bobby Lashley. You can go Orange Cassidy versus Bobby Lashley. You could do Hurt Business versus Death Riders, as you mentioned. You could do Hurt Business versus the AEW Originals again, if you want to keep that going, which I don't think they should. But yeah, very cool stuff. AEW is quite exciting. We'll see what happens this week. You know, hopefully we'll get some Bobby Lashley, you know, movement. I don't expect him to be in the ring anytime soon.
Not for a couple of weeks, at least. I think. Make that a big deal.
They'll make that into a pay-per-view thing. I think Full Gear. We'll see it. We'll get Bobby versus Swerve. Woo! Sweet Lord. That's going to be good. We love making this podcast. It's super fun. And we like just talking about a variety of different storylines in wrestling. So I had this idea and I floated it with the guys and, you know, listen, if it sucks, it sucks. If it's great, it's great. You guys let me know. Honestly, I don't really care.
Way to sell it, GB.
I'm keeping it a buck 50 with our listeners.
It might suck. Anyway, here's the thing.
They might hate it. And they might like it. Anyway.
Just propose it first.
The core of the idea is a wrestling book club. The idea is you guys give us matches, pay-per-views, specific matches that you want us to watch. It doesn't even have to be a pay-per-view. It could be Monday Night Raw, Dynamite, it could be Collision, it could be anything, but it's just something notable, right? And you want us to like watch it and you want us to, you know, talk about it and analyze it and we, you know, look at what came before it, what came after it. And then we ask the question whether or not they cooked with the story or if it was, you know, kind of okay in the end, right? Like whether or not they should have pivoted or not. That's the core of the idea. So if you guys listen to this podcast and you want to participate in that, join our Discord. You can find the link down below. And just there's going to be a channel that we're going to make that you could just go ahead and put YouTube links for matches. You could just put the match itself, the dates. You could just put the name of the pay-per-view. I mean, it's the internet. We can find anything. So go nuts. But yeah, any matches you guys want to talk about or any pay-per-views that you want to talk about.
Stories, feuds, kind of thing. It's kind of like that rebooked nature that we've talked about before, but like, just like give us an example of a scenario and you know, we'll look back at it here with our 2020 lens, whether it was last year or 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And then we'll decide, right, you know, right move made at the time or could we have done a little better?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you guys got any? Any matches? For me, the one I wanted to start off with was Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles at that Survivor Series pay-per-view because it was so weird. Jinder Mahal was the champion going into that pay-per-view. That was wild. That's the one that kind of started all of this because I had watched that match and I was like, wait a minute, what the hell happened beforehand? And then I went and I found the date and the episode and the number and then I watched it. It's like, this is insane, man. They were just doing whatever. They had no long-term idea.
I think there was a better match with AJ Styles. With Brock. The match was already set with Brock, and I think it was just, this is going to be a better match. And they already determined that that was when they were doing, like, champions versus champions or whatever. It wasn't Brock their champion on Raw or whatever.
Right.
So I think whether it was something Brock wanted or I love Jinder, but like the match, I think was better with AJ in that spot.
Yeah.
I think it's as simple as this is a better match for a big four pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have looked bad.
It was a great match.
Yeah.
Can you imagine just Jinder getting just F5'd in German suplex all? Because realistically, that's the only thing they could have done. If they had done that match, I don't think they would have been able to like, that was when they were like feeding Brock Lesnar. They were giving him protein.
I mean, I'll give a missed opportunity. Although I'm glad that they didn't because they're here and they're alive and I love them. But the Bollywood boys getting German suplex and F5 two at a time thrown into the 15th row would have been fantastic entertainment. I mean, for their health and safety, I know they would have been. I know the Harv and Gurv, you guys would have been huge. You would have been so into it. You would have committed to it 120%. But that would have been a hell of a couple of gifts, if you will. So
actually, speaking of them, they've been killing it. By the way,
they're going all the time. I love those boys.
Yeah, I watch like random like indie shows on YouTube, and then out of nowhere I just see them coming out doing the dance, having a good time. Hell, and yeah, everyone's enjoying it. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, so guys, let us know what show, what pay-per-views, what matches. And by the way, it does not have to be WWE. It can be AEW, can be TNA, New Japan, but you know, I would say that less likely that we would do that, considering that footage is a little bit harder to obtain. But yeah, whatever you guys want to do and suggest, we would love to hear from you guys and sound off into Discord. So that takes us to the new segment that we have. Who's winning the Royal Rumble? That's right. Who is winning the Royal Rumble? It is a thing that we've been doing every single week now for the last few weeks, where we asked a question this week: who do we feel is going to win the Royal Rumble? And the results are in. And I'm excited for this one. Here we go. And it is for me. I'm sticking with CM Punk, but I went with Lyra Valkyria, baby. Ooh. And then Jake, you went Kevin Owens and Jay Cargill. And then Matt, you went with Batista and Chelsea Green.
Back to Chelsea.
I'm gonna explain. What I want to talk about.
So, Chelsea Green, quick shout out, going back to her just because she's awesome. And also because she demonstrated at Crown Jewel how dangerous it is to be up on the top rope. She knows how risky that is, especially in a Rumble situation. So she's learned she's going to avoid those scenarios. I think she's going to be good for the Rumble scenario. And then Batista, because, man, that's my dog. He loves dogs. Her body, her choice on this election day. That's damn my right guy. So just because, and you never know. There's a reason he hasn't accepted his Hall of Fame induction yet. I think because there's always a chance to go one more round, and it could be this.
You think the animal's back one more again? Oh boy,
one more again.
Oh boy,
say no.
Oh, now when you close that, that'll be exciting. Okay, I don't mind those. The Batista, you had justification, so I'm gonna. It's better than Adam Pearce, so okay.
I don't know.
Adam Pearce is a regular fixture, at least on TV.
I had a great story pitch for Adam Pearce winning.
To be fair, RTC Ivory.
Don't tell me you wouldn't love that.
It's just
don't tell
the
me that
one.
The pee-oo, pee-oo.
All right, Jake, here you go. Your time. You got Kevin Owens. You're going for 4-5 times for KO. Mm-hmm. So you're sticking to KO, but you're like me. You're on the women's side. You're not too sure. You went with Jade Cargill first time for her. What made you go with Jade?
Their little showdown during the number one contender match. I just feel like it is time to take off the training wheels for Jade Cargill. Let's turn her loose and see what happens. Put her in the Rumble. Let her go nuts. I'm just interested to see where she can go from here.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, they're still like very much teasing the split of that team and it possibly not ending well. I'm all for it because I think it'll be a blast to watch.
Yeah.
I think that could be one of the Mania title matches is Bianca and Jade. Bianca wins it sometime between now and Mania.
Yeah.
Jade wins the Rumble and that showdown is set. I think people have talked about that since she showed up. And then especially once they started teaming together shortly thereafter. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, they've been calling it since they were teaming, bro. Since the freaking beginning, they're like, oh, I can't wait for them to fight each other because we know what's going to happen. And then they were like, no, we're going to stick together for a little while longer when they lost the first time, which was still like, I know why they did it, but it was always like, no, they're not breaking them up right now. They have nothing for them to do. You know, if they broke up, the only thing it would be for them to fight each other. And now's not the time for them to do that.
Right.
Good calls. I got to tell you, Kevin Owens, man, though, each and every week you've been saying Kevin Owens.
The case is growing stronger.
And
fuck, bro.
I do actually think KO can
imagine, do it. Imagine all this shit stretching out to January. Kevin Owens still is not allowed there. And we do what happened with Becky Lynch one year. Someone's music hits, you know, horses. Maybe it's number 30 music hits and it's not Kevin Owens. And then as they're about to get down the ring, mm-hmm. Kevin Owens comes out, beats the shit out of that person, gets in the ring, wins the Royal Rumble. I don't know.
Hey, dude, if there is a wrestler that they would have pull that off and can pull that off, it will be Kevin Owens. So that, yeah, keep an eye on that one. I decided to go with CM Punk again because I'm still sticking to my guns. I think, you know, they wanted him to win last year. I think they really want him to win it this year. It's a great, he's still a draw. It's a great marketing opportunity for them. I see no reason why they wouldn't do it. And then on the other side, Liar Valkyria, because of what happened on Monday Night Raw this week, where she was fighting Io Sky in that last spot. And the whole time I was like, if they don't give this, if Liar Valkyria doesn't like get this win here, I think that there's something further down the road for her. Right. And because she has been another one of those wrestlers that they brought in with a ton of fanfare. And then she's been just chilled. She's like hanging out with a bunch of the other, you know, like lesser known women's wrestlers, kind of like elevating them. People still cheer. People still like her. People still support her. But she doesn't really have much to do right now. So a Royal Rumble win. I would even go as far as to say, I really do think that top four of the Royal Rumble might very well be the four women that we picked here. Funny enough. It could be Lyra, it could be Jade, it could be Chelsea. Like that could easily be the top four as well, which is crazy.
Lyra, Jade, Chelsea, Ivory, final four. I mean,
Yeah,
but if she's not in the RTC gear, don't count. So that's true. There you have it. There's your Royal Rumble predictions. Let us know in the comments who you think is going to be winning the Royal Rumble this week. It's around the corner, people. And it's my favorite pay-per-view of the year. I love it so much. So good. It's the best. But of course, that takes us to everyone's favorite last segment of the show, the rebooked 24/7 champion of the week. Bueno. Okay, right. So here we go. Rebook 24/7 champion of the week. You guys got yours?
I do.
You do? Matt, go first. Go first.
Do you mind if I go last?
Oh, okay. You can go
because
last.
Because I think you'll find it apropos.
I do have one. You know what? Mine is mild. It's more I want to give a shout out. I don't expect it to win. I just wanted to get a shout out. Mine is the matchup between Dragon Lee and Chad Gable on Monday Night Raw. If you are a fan of just good old fashioned professional wrestling, it was beautiful. You had two very different styles, but they were matching each other similarly in the ring. Chad was keeping up with Dragon Lee's very fast paced movement. He's incredible. And then Chad Gable was just a technical mastermind. It was a matchup well worth your time to watch. They went over multiple commercial breaks. The match started, crowd was not into it. At the end of it, the crowd was like, oh my God, that was amazing. So well worth the time. Check it out for sure. Dragon Lee versus Chad Gable, Monday Night Raw. Who wants to go next? Yeah. Jake, you ready?
You know what? I'm going to go with Jack Perry and Daniel Garcia. I really, really liked that segment between them backstage on, I think it was Collision.
Yeah.
And I want to give more AEW love when they do something that I love. And so that's who I'm giving it to this week. That's going to be mine.
I like that. Okay. All right, Matt, fuck it all up.
So I will, because I have your vote already. I'm already know that. I've already called this one because you guys have both picked people very worthy in matches and situations, especially young talent who deserve more of a spotlight. You guys have highlighted that. But you know what, boys? This goes for all of us. Sometimes you got to toot your own horn. And I'm choosing us this week because our YouTube channel just hit partner on YouTube. Thanks to all you out there, the Rebook channel made that partner program. You guys all watching, listening, wherever you find this, have helped us do that. So toot, mother flippin' toot to us.
Hell yeah.
And to you, the Rebook community, for all you've done and helping us get to this. It's been a labor of love, so shout out to us.
I'm very, I can't believe it. I've never had a YouTube channel that I've worked on hit monetization. So, you know, just for myself. So it's pretty cool to have that happen, but also,
yeah,
thanks guys for supporting us. And basically what that means is, we just get ads. We get ads on our videos now. And we can make a little bit of, you know, a little bit of money. And we put that toward, you know, the folks who help us out, especially our editor Scan, who's probably listening and watching this right now, trying to find things to cut up for. We love you, buddy. Thank you so much for everything. You're the man. This the success of the show would not have been possible without you. And we're still close to a thousand.
Fuck you,
subs.
Scan. Keep a level head. Okay.
Okay. Well, there it is. We're right around the corner to 1,000 subs. So if you really like this show, please just go out there and tell someone about it. Tell someone about the show. Be like, hey, this podcast, three dudes, you know, one guy's a freaking pro wrestling commentator and wrestler. The other guy's a professional writer, and the other dude's an asshole, talks too much. It's a good show, damn it.
When anyway. Are you a professional writer?
You're a professional writer, Jake.
No.
I think the world
of you. I thought I was the asshole who talks too much.
No, Jake, I think the world of you, buddy. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. You gotta lift our brothers up. You know what I'm saying? That's it. That's it. All right, guys. Well, that is going to do it for this week. Lots of fun stuff that we covered, obviously. And I'm just making sure that we're a little good on time. We're a little over on time, but that's okay. But yeah, lots of happenings in the world of pro wrestling this week. But we're going to be keeping eyes on what's going on in the world of AEW, what's happening with the likes of Bobby Lashley, the Death Riders, what's going on in WWE with the Bloodline, which we should find out a little bit more on Friday, and even the ramifications for Cody and Kevin Owens. And then let's not forget, you also have wrestling all over the place, right? You have Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling. You also have our favorite, TNA Pro Wrestling. You got to check it out, okay? Because they're doing some great stuff over there as well. It truly is. I say it every week. An awesome time to be a wrestling fan. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. We thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time. Peace.